Hey, Danny, speaking about the importance of mental health, I'm so grateful for the resources that Berkeley has provided for us students here on campus.
Yes, especially in an industry like this, it can be stressful and the competition can really get to people.
They have built an incredible safe space full of professionals ready to help at a moment's notice, and I have to thank both Berkeley and all of our donors for making that happen.
If you're interested in finding out more about helping Berkeley continue providing us with great resources, check out berkeley.edu/giving. No gift is too small, and all of your support is greatly appreciated by all of us.
Thank you, guys.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Berkeley Alumni's Pass the Mic, where we pass the mic to you. My name is Jaquel Illy.
And I am an ecstatic Patrick Farma. Did I say that word right? Ecstatic?
Ecstatic. Yeah, I think that's the correct way to say it. And why? What's going on? Why are you so ecstatic?
Because this is the season finale of season one of our very own podcast. We made it a whole season. Yeah, Joe, yes. Cue some claps. Do you want to play some of that?
Just
say, play some of the podcast theme music. Yay! Hey! All right, yeah.
I don't know. I would say I don't know if I would say ecstatic. I would say happy, excited. It's like, wow, time really does fly by when you're having fun.
It's been crazy. I've been thinking about this a lot. I am really just happy that we got an episode out every month when we said we're going to get an episode out.
Yes, we did that.
Some months that was like 3 days before the end of the month, but you know, we did it.
Hey, we got it in there and that's all that matters.
Before we get into today's episode, Jaquel, I have a surprise for you.
Oh boy, it's always a surprise. I cannot.
I love it because you plan these things out and then all of a sudden I have a little wrench to throw in there.
Oh boy.
All right, I'm rolling. So just come in with your intro whenever you want.
All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the very first episode of Berkeley Alumni Pass the Mic.
Do you want me to say more and tee you up?
Well, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Like, don't just.
This is your show.
Yes. I'm Jaquel Illy.
And I am terrible at introducing myself, I've realized.
What okay. is cool about you?
Oh, good. You see, you can't ask a question like that because then immediately someone's going to be like, that's not cool. And here I am. At Emerson. Not Emerson. Here I am at Berkeley. And here okay. I am at Berkeley. Jonah, I apologize in advance for this. All right, everybody. This is our first commercial. Hey, Jaquel.
What's up, boss?
More than 54... No, I lost it. So let's just go again.
Why? What did we do?
Because I messed
what
that
was
one.
Wrong?
I messed that one up. Come on, we're gonna get better.
Okay.
Ready? And did you know that there's over 400 Alumni Loyalty Society members this year?
No, I actually did not know that one.
I got you on that one then, didn't I? You gonna do a tag out or something?
Bet. Nah, just kidding. Yeah, okay, cool. I cannot wait. Let me go check it out.
It's going to be a hot mess. Do the intro all the way up to you are Jaquel Illy and pass it to me. I will awkwardly introduce myself. Jaquel doesn't like the way I introduce myself. I try everything different, but she doesn't like it. You know, we're a work in progress. Are you like a old lady? Like you got to have your ringer on your phone?
It's not even my phone. It's the iPad. Celtics lost to the Lakers when we're home. What in the world?
Could you talk into the microphone?
I think I just sound like that when I start, and then when I am just talking, I talk like this.
And you're like, hey, everybody!
Welcome back to another episode. Welcome back to another episode of Berkeley Alumni. I'm sorry.
It's called Pass the Mic.
I thought you was about to say you never press record. Okay.
No, this time I did. Sorry, Jonah.
Collapse. That was so funny. Oh my God. It's the music in the background. Like, it's the music in the background. And then it's like us being our authentic selves. Like, for real. That one clip when I'm like, what do we do wrong? You're like, no, I didn't like it. Like, I'm just like, what? Why do we have to do it again? But yeah, that was great. Thank you for surprising me with that.
When I was listening to it, it started sounding like a couple of old pals. The other thing is, is that you can't really tell where we are when we are doing these things. You know, some of those clips were working from home. Some of those clips were on campus. Some of them were in New York. Some of them were in Los Angeles.
One thing about us, we're going to travel. And like, I agree, pals, I loved it. Thank you, boss, for that surprise. And it also shows how much effort and how hard we work to get the right take for everybody, okay? We put work and effort into this.
I tell people when they start working at Berkeley all the time, especially if they're doing digital media stuff, you are presenting to an informed audience. The Berkeley people are not going to let you slip.
They will definitely hold you accountable.
So what do we have coming up today?
So today we have the final episode of the season, and it is super special, not only because it is the final episode, but because it is the Meet the Team episode. So in this episode, you're going to be hearing from everyone in the Alumni Affairs team.
You've heard enough from us, but we did want to kind of break down what we do when we're not talking on podcasts. Jaquel and I are the main staff people for digital engagement, and we are supported by 3 to 4 student employees, depending on the time of year. We have Tom, who's on a break. We have Jonah, who has really been a really big part of not only the podcast, but just our events and things that we do. We have 2 new student employees. We have Leia, and I'm going to get self-conscious. Laura.
Laura.
There we go.
Yes. I also want to just add that our student workers are all from different countries, which I think is super cool. Tom is from South Africa, Jonah's from Germany, and Laura and Leia are both from Spain. So super cool to have all these different personalities and cultures in our team, and everyone's super creative and we're super thankful for them.
So Jaquel, do you want to talk a little bit about what you do?
So I handle all of the social media. So we have BCM and BCB on IG, and then also on Facebook. And then also we have a page on LinkedIn, TikTok, YouTube. So anytime you're leaving a message via DMs or a comment, I'm the one who is behind the pages responding. So thank you to those who are taking the time to just kind of like say, hey, I would like to help out this way, or I would love to show some behind the scenes footage when I'm doing a show. So if anybody has anything coming up, please don't hesitate to reach out to me so we can work together and collaborate.
And also Jaquel does, she meets with the other social media teams, the campus comms team, the new graduate transition team. She is everywhere you want to be and informed in all of the communications plans around Berkeley.
Thank you. Yes.
For me, since I've been at Berkeley, we've come up with a lot of new concepts for how we do our events, how we cover what the office is doing. So if we have alumni in town, we might do a podcast, we might record a live performance, or we might do a variations interview or a speaker lab or an after school special, which are all series you can find at youtube.com/Berkeley alumni. And then in terms of events, I'll record the New York brunch or the LA brunch or the Alumni Achievement Awards, and work with all the AV people there to make sure that we're able to capture this footage in a meaningful way. Yeah. And then I'll also work with other departments in institutional advancement and around the community. I helped out with the first Berkeley Legacy Awards, with the Amplify Berkeley Gala, where Jaquel and I are a roving news team. We've created a lot of different ways to cover things. So yeah, so it's just kind of really cool to be in a creative spot where I can think up new things and be supported and stay out of Excel spreadsheets as much as possible.
We be moving.
Yeah. So, you know, like that, you've heard a lot from us.
Yes.
So who are we meeting first, Jaquel?
So the first segment is with Joe and Georgia.
We thought it would be good to get them to sit down together because of the work they do in the office together and their strong ties to the Boston Conservatory.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's all you need to know. And if you want to know more, you should just listen to the interview. Well, let's start with the big dog.
Yes, Joe.
Joe.
Big boss.
Mr. Senior Director of Alumni Affairs and Annual Giving.
Not the little one.
Can you give us a little overarching layout of Alumni Affairs?
Our main goal is to increase engagement between alumni to alumni and alumni to the school. We're really trying to build in more opportunities for people to give back and really support Berkeley from wherever they are in the globe. So that could be a mix of attending an event, hosting an event, appearing on a podcast, maybe interacting with us on social media. And then we also have some opportunities to interact with other offices on campus, including admissions, support, the mentorship program. There's ways we're trying to get people clued into everything that's going on at Berklee and Boston Conservatory to really have a more like well-defined like volunteer base. And that's kind of the meat and potatoes of what we have going on over in Alumni Affairs.
So Joe, you kind of are a seasoned vet here. Can you just explain what is one of your favorite things about this department?
It's me, isn't it, Joe?
It is Georgia. I think some of my favorite things about this department are like the passion that all the alumni bring. People really want to be a part of this community. They really want to help make this community stronger. And people are always coming to us with ideas on what they want to do and how they want to connect. And, you know, we'll have like two people in Wisconsin that want to do something and they are like so passionate about wanting to do it. And I feel like we have such a good team that wants to respond and help and create some of those pathways for them. But we've had such great events here too. You know, our brunches on each coast, the alumni awards that we revitalized back in 2018 in Boston. But then we have so many good, like small events, just like showcases and cabarets and things where you see people like getting on stage and like doing what they love to do, even if it's not what they do for their like 9 to 5.
Yeah, I agree. It's always good when we all are able to come together.
I think the other thing, every time I'm watching a movie or some sort of media or an award show or a parade or, you know, whatever, I'm like, wow, there's three alums up there. There's a BOCO alum up there. So-and-so produced the show. It's like, because we've been here for so long, we've now amassed this group of names and we know who a lot of the players are. It does drive my wife crazy because I'll be like, oh, that's so-and-so. I met them in New York. And she's like, there's no possible way you know all these people.
It's always fun to show off too when you know like all the Grammy nominees for the year. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Berklee alumni I'm trying to make friends with, we have Georgia over here who is a Boston Conservatory alum.
Whoop, whoop.
Facts.
Can you explain your position as a project manager and the stuff that you do and handle?
Yeah, so I'm our frontline correspondent. I handle all of our mass communications. I coordinate all of our events and basically kind of just support everybody on the team.
Major support, super organized. A lot of things, if we need like good workflows, I know who to come to. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
When you will email alumniaffairs@berklee.edu. Yes.
That is me.
So make sure to say a friendly hello to Georgia when you email us.
Emphasis on the friendly. Emphasis on the friendly.
What is something that you feel like all alums should know?
So rarely do they know. I mean, down to like the Wix website discount. They like never know how many resources are available to them. And it's totally like the squeaky wheel gets the oil. Literally all they have to do is ask for whatever resource they need or whatever event they want to put on. And 9 times out of 10, we're right there with them ready to get that going.
Just how open to collaboration we are and how receptive we are to ideas and what people want and what they think. You know, I think especially for events, like we can sit back here and put together a happy hour for people, but that might not be what everybody wants. So if there's things people want to see, things people want to do, like that's what we're here for as well.
I think too, like that we're all artists. Like Absolutely. Everyone on the team is somehow involved yeah. in the arts, whether appreciation or an active performer. That's what I always say when we're over at the conservatory is to make sure students understand like Joe and I aren't just people in suits who sit behind keyboards. Right. Both of us have performed. Both of us are actors, singers, dancers. Like we know what they're going through. We know what it means to be supported as an artist. We're not just administrators who don't know anything about the industry.
Yeah. And actually, we were having a riveting conversation about acting makeup right before I hit record here.
Right. But like, we know it's not foreign.
One of the things why we wanted to interview the two of you together as well was because you both have deep connections with the conservatory. Mm-hmm. And Joe, before you have your position now, you were the conservatory person for the mm-hmm. office. How can you explain our relationship between the college and the conservatory?
I think what it's really become is more access, more resources. You know, I'd say to a conservatory alum, you know, there's 12,000 of you, but across all of our campuses, there's almost 80,000 alumni that are now at everyone's disposal. So I'd say that access to the community is something that's been amplified because of the merger. And I would love to maybe explore how we can help spread that to the community a bit more if that's something people are interested in.
What are some updates that BoCo alums should be notified about?
Oh, man. I mean, it's changed so much even in, I graduated in 2018, so not even 10 years ago, and it's just changed so much that half the studios I haven't seen, and I don't even know where they are because they're in different buildings now. There's a whole other dance track now. There's a whole other theater track now.
Even, for example, there's more Boston Conservatory content and classes coming to Berklee Online. That wouldn't have happened before the merger. And there's more stuff being planned, more degrees, you know, possibly coming down the pipeline online. So if people wanted to get a bachelor's or a master's through Berklee Online, a lot of that stuff is being discussed and like talked about.
There's minors now, too, that you can get through the college, which is just insane. We couldn't minor when I was at school. You had a major and that was it. Wow. Right.
One of the more recent kind of anecdotes that came up with the conservatory students now, we were talking to an old friend of the show, Taiwana Flores, and she was talking about the Black Scholars Initiative and how BoCo always had like a little contingent and they called themselves the BoCo Coco group, which I thought was just adorable.
Oh my God, I love that.
That's cute.
And how they're able now to benefit from the student support services like the Black Scholars Initiative and Somos Latinx and all of these other kind of campus life experiences. And I'm hoping that when they graduate, more alumni will come together. And when they see our holiday parties, they won't be like, oh, that's like a Berklee College of Music thing. It's a it's all alumni and everybody getting together and then being able to use those connections for networking and bridging those areas.
Georgia, what is one of your favorite things about your position?
I love the people who work at Berklee. I love connecting with fellow alums. I love how much creative freedom I have.
You see a lot of alumni come to campus too, right?
Yeah, I'm kind of, if someone wants to come to campus to get an alumni ID or just to meet someone in the alumni affairs office. So I'm kind of that person if they want to come into the office. I've met with a lot of alumni and it's always just crazy to see how tiny this world is.
Yeah.
The arts industry and the Berklee BoCo alumni world.
A little secret for people to know is if you get Georgia on the phone, she will have a full-fledged conversation with you and learn basically everything about your life.
What's the record?
I think it was 47 minutes. And
on the phone?
Yeah, this really incredible alumnus who's just lived like a crazy life and a crazy career and has played with everyone like at the Copacabana in New York back in the 70s and just like wanted to tell me about his whole career. And I just had the greatest time chatting with him and came out of my office with him on speaker just to show Joe, like, yes, I'm still on the phone with this alumnus.
I am working and I'm working hard.
And it's it was an awesome conversation. No, I just love talking to people.
So this is your opportunity to speak to the alumni. What would your closing words be?
Mine would be keep in touch. We really can't do what we do without you. The more we know about you and what you want to do, that's the only way we can like really make our team function the most effectively.
I think everything that I would want them to know is probably in this podcast episode, that we're all humans and we're all artists and we know what's up and we're not just suits behind keyboards who don't know how to support artists. We're really here for you.
All right, y'all. So that was our interview with Joe and Georgia. As you can see, we had a blast just sitting there and talking and laughing. If anyone has any more questions or would like to talk to them more, as you can hear, Georgia loves a great conversation. You can either call her or email them both at alumniaffairs@berklee.edu.
Yeah, and I'm going to put out a challenge to alumni. We have to have a petition. Both Joe and Georgia have participated in the Dancing with the Stars at Berklee. And yes. I think that we need to have them pair up next year.
Next, we're going to head over to our West Coast friends. And our West Coast friends are D and Z, which we like to call them. But their real names are Donna and Zach. And they hold it down over on the West Coast with all of the events and all of the connection and community fostering over there. How is the West Coast life?
West Coast, best coast. I'm so sorry. I mean, I love it out here. There's a lot of ability to get even a different micro vibe, even just within like specifically like the LA area, which is where a lot of our work is. Yeah. And you get a little sampler platter of different environments and different hubs and just little micro networks. And there's so much space out here. And I think that has a lot to do with it.
How do you foster a community here with all of like the different points and like networking opportunities and people in different aspects of their career? How does that look like?
I always try to just think of it as like one-on-one, knowing and holding space in my head that like this person that I'm talking to represents a huge web of people who are connected to us, who are working on behalf of each other and elevating each other and motivating each other. So I realize that every time I'm talking to one person, I'm actually probably talking to like 50. And I try to keep that awareness as we move forward, knowing that like if the idea has risen to somebody sitting in front of me, pitching it to me or asking for support, that like it took a lot of work to get there, right? As people, we know that as human beings out here, it's hard to even get to the place to say like, I have this idea and like, I want to put it in front of you and I trust you not to jump all over it and stomp on it. And like, it's all leaning in. And if you're leaning in, I'm leaning in too.
I don't see it as much like me trying to have a foot in all of these different areas. It's more like I can rest and know that, well, I'm connected to these people and I know that these people are really passionate about these topics. And you know, that's how I can like make sure all of this wide range and this wide spectrum of West Coastness, you kind of just end up relating to different community leaders, essentially, that kind of provide that context for you.
I think now even more than ever, like you really have to come out here and visit the alumni community to really get a sense of the community that they want to build, you know? And I think it's a lot about building trust and having empathy. And I've seen the people that don't do that well and are a little bit more competitive, not really thrive, because then you're kind of missing out on your network.
1,000%. Not everybody wants to sit in this competitive energy all the time. We're going to get it from the noise around the world, no matter what we do. Mm-hmm. And I think especially when you're trying to like build community, you want a place where your vulnerability is safe. And like, you need a place that recognizes that we're going to grow from each other. And there needs to be the space to do that.
I'm very grateful for that overlap of need, where it's like, it's part of why community is really strong out here, I think, because the work necessitates that you have a strong team of people around you to be able to get the stuff done that's being asked of you. So that creates this overflow of like, oh, I need community, not only just for all the reasons we need community as human beings, but also because my work is not possible to get done if I don't have people.
And it's that thing I always hear too. It's like, if you're going to be spending so many hours a day, a week, a month, a year with someone, you want it to be someone that you can at least enjoy being around.
We would hope.
Yeah. You really have to be that person that people want to be around.
I've heard a lot of alums tell the story of like knowing how to coexist, knowing how to be the light in a room gets them a lot of gigs, right? There are people, they get hired because if they're in the room, people are going to have a good experience. And that is priceless. You cannot just order that to happen. Right? That is a gift. That is a skill. And that is something that not everybody has. And so it's valuable.
So as you're talking to different alums, right? Like, what are some of the problems alums are facing out here?
Jaquel.
Or like,
that's a big question. Or like,
how can we support them?
Allowing them to be able to bring their problems, right? Like, where is this on the agenda? In any industry, it's not even just the creative spaces, but I do think particularly in creative spaces, right? Like, we're creating things where there was nothing. Mm-hmm. And in that, like, there are no pathways. So it's almost like every project, you're creating the workflows that create the project, because it changes based on who's involved, how they've done it before, right? It's not like the infrastructure and freeways exist and you just drive on them. That's not how our work works. And so I think being able to have the like, well, this is where I'm at. This is my reality right now. This is how I'm taking this moment. This is how I'm feeling. This is how I received that. And if you can have that back and forth, it flows.
I mean, it makes me think about when I moved back to Boston after college, and I'm from Boston. Part of the thing that doesn't give me FOMO about Berkeley is that I recorded in the basements of 150 before anybody in this room, even though I didn't go to Berkeley. But I went back to Boston, and like, I had no friends, even though I was from there.
Yeah.
Like, the people that I worked with were kind of transient. They'd come into town, hire me for work, and then they'd be gone, and then winter would come, you know? But then like out here, you kind of see, even when we were just doing the alumni brunch yesterday, you see people seeing each other that haven't seen each other for a while, giving each other hugs and, you know, being really appreciative of having other people in their presence. It's, yeah, no, it's definitely a different vibe.
When we talk about it being a soft place to land, like, yeah, it's a soft place to land to explore, but like, there's no guarantees with any of this, which is true of anywhere, but just that element of it is that we all have to find where we are able to do the creative things that we want to do, and that that flourishes the best. And for some people it's LA and some people it's not. They come out here and they try it and it doesn't work.
You got to do the work and you got to put in the time. You know, when people show up to Berklee, they're always like, I'm here, I can play the trumpet. And then you got like 80 other trumpet players that are like making you feel bad.
That's a moment.
And then when you graduate, kind of, I've talked to other people about this too. It's like you graduate, you decide to go where you're going to land, and then you're like, I'm here, give me my jobs that I'm going to choose. And then it's like, oh, wait.
You got to open the door. You got to build the welcome mat. You got to, there's a process.
There's steps.
Yeah. And those steps are what like teach you how you're going to keep the career going.
How can alums engage with you all over here?
I do want to talk to you. I'm not just going to email you back and forth. Yeah. I want to meet. I want to see your face. Right. I want to know you and what lights you up and what you see for yourself, so that I can think about what I have to work with and how we can bring some of those pieces together. How can we leverage this community and what we all honor as our legacy, and how can we see ourselves in it and continue that fabric?
Mm-hmm. No, and that also helps inform the programming that you two do out here.
Oh, it is the programming,
yeah. Yeah, all the events.
I think just like underlining like intentionality is really important when trying to connect, and it'll serve you best. For me, the biggest thing right now has been like, if we haven't met and you're friend requesting, it's just really hard to know like, yo, what do you want? What do you need from me? Especially for folks like Donna and I in the positions that we're in, like, we do want to connect. Like, and if that's you asking to connect, I don't want it to be a missed opportunity. Mm-hmm. So please, if you're really seeking that connection, like it's more than a friend request, like reach out, let us know what it is that, you're needing and that you're wanting to connect, about something. And like, yeah, let's have that conversation.
You guys are already like talking about this, but what is one thing that you want alums to know?
Oh, that we are Berklee. I don't know. I don't even know how many people even know this anymore, right? There's been staff out here for like over 30 years. And that has a big part of why there is this connectivity that we've been talking about, right? It's a legacy, right? Peter Gordon was out here for decades. And then Justine Taramino came in and she hired Zach. And then I came in after Sheila. Like, we are, there's a legacy of alumni building this community. And it's based on what we brought with us from Boston, but like it is the LA community that had its own history, its own struggles, its own, like, how are we going to do this? Mm-hmm. This is a rare thing. It's a completely different bag to have an institution recognize the value of just straight connectivity and community.
This kind of leads me to another question, which is my final question. Mm. I know I'm taking up the mic today, Jaquel.
Okay.
I'm so interested. Why do people move out here to a place where there's no public transportation infrastructure or everything's really spread out, but no one wants to drive anywhere? People are like, oh my God, that's like 30 minutes away. No way.
Yeah.
I would die if I was able to drive to Berklee from my house in 45 minutes. Like, that would change my life. It would change my life. I would have so much more time. Yeah. People come out here and they don't want to drive.
There's traffic out here, though.
There's traffic everywhere. We live in Boston. There's traffic.
I think also it's very expensive out here. And so I think that it's not just the time. It's like the gas money and the like.
Yeah, the gas is expensive.
It's almost
here.
Like Arizona, a real tight energy budget. Two. Mm-hmm. So it's like, we will go if we know what we're going to get when we get there. Like, what is it? Can I assess it? Yes, it's what I want. Then I will put my resources in. The cost is not greater than the return. Great. Mm-hmm. We'll do it.
Well, there you have it.
All right. So we're back from Donna and Zach. And I will tell you that that felt like a genuine LA conversation.
Mm. Why do you say that?
We go from questions about logistics and how we kind of operate as a business. And then once you get to the West Coast, it's more about how do you build community? and how do you participate in that community? Because I feel like there's so much infrastructure in the industry out there. The needs that you have as an alum out there are much different than you might have here.
One thing that stood out to me was just like the collaborative support. Like, yes, we all need support, but then it's like, help us help you. Like, mm-hmm. come to us. If you have an idea, then yes, we want to help amplify this idea and bring it to the community so we can all learn from this idea. So I think they have a really well-oiled system.
Everyone was jealous because Colleen got to have her own segment, but I'll tell you that she can hold her own. She used to be in admissions and then she left for a while and then she came back. Fun fact about Colleen was after she left Berkeley to go down to Florida, there was a news report about this snowstorm we were having. And like, I got a text message and it was like, oh my God, Colleen's on Channel 7. Like, so, like, she came up for the storm because she just missed the winter. And someone who has enough energy to do that, like, I just need to be around that all the time.
Yeah, she loves the snow. And also, she is an alum. So enjoy this segment with Colleen.
My title is Associate Director of Alumni Affairs, and Donna and I kind of share the U.S. in terms of our territory. I'm like East Coast, you know, in terms of regional hubs, Miami, Atlanta, Nashville, New York, Boston. And really, we just work to engage our alumni in those areas. Today, I got on a call with an alum who is in the Miami area and is looking to get more involved and more connected with other Berkeley alumni. So it's really facilitating connections and whether that's putting together events. You know, we do various events. We just had an event this week in New York City called Inside the Record, where one of our alums led a kind of a feedback session where we had a few alums present their songs and then everyone kind of gave some feedback on the production and all that kind of thing. We want to support the alums and how they feel they want to be supported. So we're always looking for input on different kinds of events. And for me, selfishly, it's so fun because I get to reconnect with people that I went to school with, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. who are just, you know, it's like once you're in the Berkeley bubble, like you're just bonded. It's just this community that you just don't get anywhere else.
Since the pandemic and, you know, a lot of people moved around, do you see emerging regions
yes.
where people are kind of clumping together?
Yeah. Miami and Atlanta really feel like they're becoming like a very, very hip spot for people to move to. Mm. We actually, the Career Development Center puts on student industry trips every year.
Yes.
When I was a student, it was like one trip. It was Nashville. And, you know, it's just expanded so much. And Jaquel and I were just in Miami, actually,
yes,
for the inaugural student industry trip to Miami. So they're going to do that every year. And it's because there is such a burgeoning scene there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's crazy how it's building up. Same thing with Atlanta. And we just did an industry trip there as well. I would say those are the two in the U.S. that seem to be the biggest. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I have alumni who are reaching out from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, from Cleveland, from Chicago, who are like, we want to do more. And so, you know, we're working on getting some opportunities there and some events there for those folks as well.
Yeah. I can't encourage alumni enough to reach out and help us build up those areas. We,
yes.
earlier, when the school year started, we reached out to people in Pennsylvania because we've noticed a lot of folks there. When we were doing a lot of virtual things, we noticed people from Twin Cities in Minnesota.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, where Chicago's Prince came always from. On the list. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, no, that's a big hub for music. Yeah, so.
Which I was so shocked about when I realized, like, I was like, wait, what? Minnesota? But then it was like, oh, wait, Prince, everything. And yep. Okay, now it makes yep. sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we like to try to put a lot of calls out. So for the alums listening, when we put calls out on social media, please don't hesitate to reach out to us because we're trying to spotlight you and highlight you so that we can, you know, learn more about your stories and tell them and share them with the community.
Exactly.
One of the major factors of you coming to Berkeley was your ability to have scholarships.
Yes.
So can you explain a little bit more about like how important scholarships are?
Yes.
100%. And like what they mean to.
And of course, I have a lot of experience with working in admissions and knowing that, you know, Berkeley is expensive. And, you know, a lot of times people are like, why is Berkeley so expensive? But when you look at the studios we have, you know, the facilities and the faculty we have, it costs money. It costs money to run a school. I was on a full tuition scholarship. At that point, there were four of them. That was it. So I 100% understand the importance of scholarships. There's so many students, you know, realistically, most students can't afford to just pay for Berkeley without some kind of financial assistance. So that comes into play with, you know, anytime we have You know, like we've got Giving Day. A lot of times that money will go towards scholarships. You can actually earmark it towards scholarships if that's what you want to do.
I have a whole clump of friends that I went to film school with, and we have a little Google hangout every Friday night.
Aw, I love that.
It's so cute. But even them, they're like, well, we didn't get any, you know, scholarship money and stuff like that. It's interesting because I'm kind of seeing the curve on that in higher ed in general. You know, we did interviews with Somos Latinx, with Taiwan Flores, and with the Black Scholars Initiative. We're talking about the evolution of how people see education and the holistic needs around people to have a quality education. I kind of look at it a little differently now in terms of, like, you started out, you had 4 scholarships and that was it, you know? But now, even looking at the different scholarships that Berkeley has now, including the Thrive Scholarship, to make sure that students who are almost ready to graduate
can continue and finish.
Yes.
Yeah, it's so important because that was something that we were seeing, you know, that, you know, people couldn't finish their education. And, you know, that's just a horrible feeling. Like, no one wants that. So that Thrive Scholarship is huge. I can't tell you when I was working in admissions how many people were like, oh my gosh, thank goodness I got this scholarship. Mm-hmm. So now I can actually finish my education.
Absolutely.
Colleen, what is one thing that you wish that all alums would know?
You know, we want to support alumni and how they want to be supported in terms of, like, programming and events and everything. So, you know, there have been times where an alum has reached out to me. In fact, this one in New York that we just did, it was this alum saying, hey, you know what? We could probably do something at the studio I work at. And, you know, we brainstormed it and it was like, oh, let's try this. And then now that's leading into something else. We're going to do a home buying 101 from a musician's perspective. You know, we're desperate for that information. Like, reach out to us. Let us know, you know, what it is that you feel like. You know what? I feel like I could really use some more information about this because, you know, especially now in the world of virtual and, you know, everything, you know, there's so much we can do that can reach everyone. So, you know, let us support you. Let us figure out, like, how, you know, we can help continue your education beyond what you did when you were on campus.
That's one of my biggest things is how can we help alumni continue to learn?
Yeah, exactly.
I agree. And I think that that kind of highlights the importance of our roles to, like, foster the relationships within our community so that we can learn from one another. When we have these different gatherings, whether they're holiday parties or the industry trips and the networking events, like, I think it's really cool and interesting when we're all in the same room and we're able to just share and connect.
It's those connections and everything that, you know, when you go to events, you don't know who you're going to meet and where it's going to lead. And, you know, the friends that either that you had when you were on campus or that you meet as alumni can really lead to a lot of opportunities that you might not have otherwise. The cool thing is also, and I think that's something that we're really trying to embrace, is success when you're an alum is what you make of it and what you feel good about. And sometimes that might not be music anymore, and that is perfectly fine.
Right.
Your education might lead you a different path, but that doesn't mean that your education wasn't worth it, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, like, I know for me, this is my ideal job, like, 100%. Like, I am where I belong. I love it. I like working in an office 9-to-5. A lot of people would be like, what? That's weird. But I love it. I love the behind the scenes work. Mm. And I wouldn't have been able, and I love Berkeley. So it just, you know, it just fits. You know, some people might be like, but, you know, that's not technically what you went to school for. And I guess technically, yeah, I guess it's not. I mean, you could say music education kind of, but it's been my path and it's just worked out. And it's like, now I'm right where I belong.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, I kind of went through a similar thing where when I graduated from film school, I started working on reality television shows. I started getting some, I worked on American Idol for a little while. I finished my first stint on a Hollywood movie. I remember going back to the bar in Southie, celebrating, and then being like, okay, well, I did that. Now what? And I don't think I would have been happy just kind of sitting on a crew, you know, sitting on an apple box being like, what chicken parm sandwich am I going to get today?
Right,
you know,
right.
that wasn't exciting for me. And I have friends that love it. So, you know, you never know. So it's a lot of times it's important to learn what you don't want to do.
Right. Yeah. And for me, like, even though I did perform professionally for like a year and a half, that's never been my goal. And honestly, like, the music I love to listen to is more like singer-songwriter. So trombone, right, you know, it's not exactly, you know, I mean, my experience is mostly with jazz and, you know, I still play here and there and, you know, classical and stuff. But that's not what feeds my soul.
Yeah. And I think that's why Jaquel and I had talked about doing a Meet the Team episode, because I think it's important for alumni to know that people like you are here, in that you want to build the community together and put all that stuff together. And I think that the alumni community is blessed to have you on the East Coast and Donna on the West Coast, and to have these really wonderful, caring people.
Why, thank you. I'll pay you later.
Yeah, no problem.
We're a good team. But one of the things that I like that you said, Colleen, is like success looks different to everybody.
Yep.
Like what you may deem successful doesn't mean that I have to live up to those standards. Like right. I can choose however I want to go and exactly. live my life. So I think that that's important too. Okay. Anything you want to leave the alums with? Any last words, thoughts, or...
Just connect Thanks. With us. Yeah. You know, we love to see, hear what you're up to, and, you know, love to meet you when we're on the road. And so, yeah, reach out and, you know, we can talk about life.
Colleen is just a ball of sunshine. She's just all laughter and good vibes. And it's always a good time to just kind of converse with her and pick her brain.
Yes. And if you audience members haven't picked out a theme for today, it's reach out. Tell us what you want. Tell us what you need, and then we can work our ways into getting that into programming and events and putting out there the things that you want to see happen. And also let your other fellow alumni know what's happening. There's some people that are really plugged into what we have going on, and there's people that really don't know. So I think it's always a good thing to tell your fellow alumni to reach out to us if they're needing information or have an idea or anything like that. And these episodes with the Meet the Team, we actually had some pretty longer conversations with them. And so we will be putting those out as bonus episodes over the summer.
Yes, stay tuned and be prepared to laugh, because we are jokesters over here. One thing we're going to do is laugh. Okay. Wow, boss. 8 episodes.
It's crazy. I'm really proud of us. And I'm really looking forward to what we're able to do next. The thing is always like, oh, well, everybody has a podcast. You know, I think that kind of put me off from trying to do one for a long time. But I feel like we're able to have a lot more deep and meaningful conversations with people through a longer format interview. And I feel like mm-hmm. we've had some really deep ties with the people that we've interviewed this year. Yeah, no, tiny tear.
Yeah, that was deep. That was really deep. And, you know, you have a point. Like, yeah, there are a lot of podcasts, but we are one of one. There is no podcast out there like this one. And that was makes us super special. I think it's also rewarding. I have been able to learn from all of the alums that we've had these interviews with. I've been able to take gems and apply them to my own personal life. When we are able to learn from each other, I think that that's what makes it even more special. So I'm super grateful. And I was just telling you, it's so encouraging hearing people come and talk to us about the episode. Like, I listened and I really liked it. And, you know, I'm super thankful for the feedback, for the criticism, for the constructive criticism, all of the good things.
And we already have our first season 2 episode. We already know who it's going to be, but you know, Jaquel doesn't want you to know.
Yes, you cannot know, but please, the only thing that you can know is that it's going to be amazing. I'm super excited. I'm already thinking about how I want to roll it out. This is going to be so fun. I cannot wait. A real cliffhanger on the last episode of the season. Love it.
So who's playing us out today, Jaquel?
Today, we have an amazing song by Joe Hicks.
Joe Hicks was part of our Spotify alumni playlist for 2023, right?
Yes, he was. Thank you so much for giving us the permission.
And as if this season hasn't ended perfectly already, the name of the song is Sail Away.
Bye.
See you in a few months, guys.
See ya.